Here at Bethel Church, we're doing a series of services about stories in the Bible. And for members of our friendship club, we're going to be talking about the story of Joseph. And I know from Mr. Kaur that you've heard about Joseph different times. So you're going to be very familiar, and you can be thinking about this. Now, this story about Joseph is one in which we have to actually begin earlier on and talk about Jacob, who was his dad. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. And Jacob had a complicated family situation. He was a man who married two sisters at the same time. Can you imagine? Leah and Rachel were his two wives, and he had children with both of them. Not only that, he had children with the servants of Rachel and Leah. So there were four women in his family who had his children, and you can imagine the family dynamics. It was not very healthy. To make it even worse, Jacob loved one of these four women much more than the other three. And he favored that one's sons over all the other children. He loved Rachel, and he loved Rachel's sons more than he loved any of the other kids. So you've got dysfunctionality on top of dysfunctionality. Jacob liked to show his love for his son Joseph by giving him gifts. He gave him a very fancy coat to wear, which was a very high status symbol. And he gave it to his son Joseph, who wasn't very wise. He liked to rub his favored status in the face of his brothers. So he'd wear this fancy coat and strut around in it, and it would just grind them. But then Joseph started to have these dreams. And he would make sure that he told his brothers, and that he just would rub their face in his dreams. He had these dreams like, hey guys, I had this dream where we were out in the field like making sheaves of grain. And in my dream, my sheaf of grain stood up straight, and all your sheaves of grain came around and they bowed down to me. Cool dream, eh, guys? And then the next night, he came and said, hey, guess what? I had another dream. I was standing outside one night, and the sun and the moon and 11 stars, he had 11 brothers, 11 stars gathered around me, and they all bowed down to me. Isn't that cool, guys? Oh, man, they hated this kid. They couldn't stand him. And the family dynamic, you can just imagine how terrible it was. So one day, they were far from home, and Joseph came with a message from their dad. And they saw Joseph, and they said, we've had it with this guy. So they grabbed him, and they threw him into an empty cistern in the desert that was used to collect water, but it was empty. And when some Ishmaelite traders came by, they took Joseph out of the cistern. They sold him to these Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt, where Joseph became a slave. Now, just to understand how terrible it was what these brothers did. There were a couple of things that could happen to a slave who went to Egypt. Number one, he could be sent to work in the mines, where he'd work to death and be dead really quick. Or he could become a house slave, and what frequently happened is that, but they were castrated to make them better slaves. So the danger that Joseph was in because of what his brothers did was immense. But it seems that, on the way to Egypt, that Joseph grew up. That he stopped being such a brat and became actually a wise person and became an excellent slave, trustworthy and responsible. And the man that he worked for, named Potiphar, you recognize the qualities now of Joseph and made him the head slave of his household. Now, unfortunately for Joseph, he was also a pretty good-looking guy. So Mrs. Potiphar started having some impure thoughts about Joseph and tried to get him to be her boyfriend. But she said no. But he said, no, that's not right. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to betray my master. It's not the kind of relationship I should be in. Well, that ticked off Mrs. Potiphar, who trumped up charges and had him sent to prison. Now, prison in Egypt was no fun place either. But being a good fellow with really excellent qualities, the head of the prison made him a responsible inmate where he had duties. And now I'd like to begin reading from Genesis chapter 40. So if you want to turn in your Bible. So this is where the story is at. Joseph is now in prison and was given a position of responsibility even in that prison. Chapter 40 of Genesis, verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." And the story goes on where the cupbearer has his story, and the interpretation is that the cupbearer will be restored to his position in the house of Pharaoh, and the chief baker, his dream is that he was going to be condemned and he was going to be executed, and indeed both of those things happened. The chief cupbearer was restored, but it says at the last verse in chapter 40, the cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Later, the story goes on that Pharaoh had a dream, a very weird dream, and the cupbearer remembered that Joseph had been able to tell him his dream, so Joseph gets connected to the Pharaoh, and the story goes on from there, and it's a story for another day. It's interesting how important dreams are in the Bible, particularly in this part of the Bible. Everybody is having dreams, it seems, and the dreams have meaning. It's a way that God speaks to his people. Are you a dreamer? Are you a person that has dreams and then wonders in the morning what these dreams mean? I've heard that everybody dreams. But if you're a healthy person, that when you sleep, you go through a period of rapid eye movement in which you are actually dreaming, and but not everybody remembers their dreams. When I was a kid, I had a recurring dream that I could fly. Unfortunately, I didn't fly like Superman. I flew like a helium balloon. And I, in my dream, I had to hang onto the telephone wires and kind of pull myself along so that I didn't just kind of float off and into the cloud without any control. Did that dream have a meaning? Probably some psychiatrist would tell me that it means something. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that God was trying to speak to me through that dream. But God can. God has shown in Scripture, and people have talked about how a dream has been an important way that God revealed something to us, something of His will or of His perspective on issues. God can, and He does, plant thoughts, conclusions. He does give directions to our minds by what He in His providence and in His power reveals to us as He intervenes in our lives. The question is, how do we know? How do we know what is of God and what is not? How can we be confident that what we think is a word of the Lord whispering to us in our ear is really from Him? Really, the story of Joseph is almost the counterpoint to the story of Esther. Last Sunday, for those of you that weren't here last Sunday, we talked about Esther. And Esther was the queen of Persia, and the whole book of Esther it's interesting. It never once mentions God, and never once has anybody praying. And as we looked at that and talked about that together, we saw that in Esther, it's the hidden hand of God. And we talked about how in our lives, often, we see God in the rearview mirror, that as God brought events together that allowed us to experience some things and took us through things, that we see His will and His direction, but it's from the back. Here in Joseph, we see God in the front. God giving a message, God giving direction to Joseph and to the people whom He had planted these dreams in. Esther and Mordecai were carried along seemingly by chance, and yet God's hidden hand guided them. But now we see God speaking to us through us, powerfully and presently. Another thing from last week. Last week I told you the story about how when I was the pastor of another church, I wrote a sermon, my I Have a Dream sermon, where I said, God has given me a vision, God has given me a dream, and this is what we have to do. And I questioned myself, you know, if did I actually have a dream? Well, no, I had a sense. I had a conclusion that had formed in my mind from living in the community, from being a student of the Word, from talking to other leaders and all that. And it led me to the conclusion that this is what we should do. And I shared that. But it was a sense of things. How do you know that sense that you have, that urging, that prodding, that conclusion that forms in your own mind is indeed the will of God for you? Like Joseph said, interpretation belongs to God. God told Joseph what the dreams of the cupbearer and the dream of the baker meant. And God gave him the interpretation that he could share. And later on, God would tell Joseph what the Pharaoh's dream meant. Now maybe God is going to give you a dream. Maybe God is going to form in your mind a direction, a conclusion, a conviction. Maybe you are going to have a vision that is startling and palpable and extraordinary. But more likely than not, that's not the way that God is going to speak to you. Because I know from my experience that God has not spoken to me that way. He can. He might. Maybe He has for you. But my experience is, in this time, in this phase of our living in the kingdom of God, that doesn't seem to be the way that He speaks. So we need to listen to God, because God is still speaking. God's Spirit is still present. He is still guiding. He's still shaping. He's still directing. So we have to be listening for it. And we have to be understanding what it is that He is saying. I think what we need to do is that when we have a dream, if it is a dream, or if we have a conclusion, or if we have an inclination, or if we have a direction that we have come to believe is the right thing for us as a family, or for us as a community, for us as a church, is to ask, does this sound like God? Does this sound like something that God would actually want us to do? And to be able to answer that question, we need to be a student of this. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know what He has spoken, what He has revealed of Himself. We need to know the values, the hopes of God that are contained in Scripture, so that when we think about what we are concluding in our minds, we say, is this a God thing? Because if it's a God thing, it will be in line with what is revealed here. We'll build the kingdom, we'll bless people, we'll be based on truth, we'll have the values of love and respect and hope that are contained in the Scripture. And so it's really important that we be people who know the Bible. Bible study should not be an option for us. Reading the Scripture devotionally should not be something we can take or leave. We need to do that. That's the first thing I would say about this. Second thing, if you have a conclusion, if you have a dream, a direction, something that's filling your thoughts, then you should ask the church. I don't necessarily mean consistory or council, although that would be good. But talk to people who you know are close to God. People who are spiritually wise, in whom you see the fruit of the Spirit, who you believe know the heart of God and can share that with you, and ask them. Say, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm concluding. Does this sound to you like the right thing? Does this sound to you like something that God would have placed in my mind? Ask them to hear it with you. Ask them to discern it with you. And if these people are indeed scripturally, spiritually wise, then they can give you guidance. We shouldn't go off on our own. We shouldn't think that ideas that pop into our heads are automatically, anointed with truth. We have been given each other. We are placed in a community so that we can discern together accurately. And the third thing, if we want to be people who dream and know what the dreams mean, if we want God to reveal that to us, we need to be people of prayer. Because it's when we are close to God, it's when we are connected to Him, that's what prayer is. It's not just an activity, it's not just a devotional exercise. Prayer is a linkage where we and God are at our closest point, where we touch the face of God. And if you want confidence that where you are going, that what you are thinking, that the direction that you want to lay down for your family or for your church is right, then you've got to be a person of prayer. He will guide you. Joseph listened carefully to God. And as a result of listening, he was able to be a blessing to his family who were threatened with starvation. His society and the kingdom of God. If we listen carefully to God, if we attend to the dreams and visions and inclinations that God places in us, then the same thing will be said of us. That we will be a blessing to our families, to our society, and to the kingdom of God. I have a dream. I have a dream of Bethel Church being an active, vibrant, transforming community here in Burlington and Waterloo. I have a dream that the word is going to go forth in this place and from this place and bless a lot of people. I think the body affirms that vision. I think we are united in that we have seen that. Now let's pray that the Lord will make us so. Father in heaven, we do want to see you, we do want to hear you, we do want to be guided by you, we do want to be obedient to you. Lord, help us to see you. Let us not turn away from what you are revealing. Lord, as you tug on our coats, as you say, I love you, may we not be oblivious to you. Help us to hear. Help us to respond. Help us to be the people you want us to be. Filled with visions and dreams, your honor, Lord.